Orleans, where you live and where you go to school are not related in any particular way. One of the things that we had to have is a way to centralize the system of application. I mean, I think it's helpful for families that don't have the real resources to travel to many schools.
I'm here with Aisha Rashid, founder of the New Orleans Parents Guide and former journalist for the Times-Picayune, as well as recent recipient of the Gambit's 40 Under 40 Award. Yeah. Thanks for being here today, Aisha.
No problem. Thanks for asking me.
I've got a question or two about the New Orleans Parents Guide, and I was hoping that you could talk to us, as well as the parents and students who are listening, about what exactly it is, where they can find it, and what it's good for.
Sure. The New Orleans Parents Guide to Public Schools is a resource guide that was created to help parents and community members understand the landscape of public education in New Orleans, both as a tool to help them actually navigate if they're looking for schools for their students, but also to understand the schools their students attend. So both and. We think of it both as a sort of resource guide in terms of people finding schools and understanding what programs, services, how you get into a school, where they're located, all that cataloged in one place. But we also think of it as an advocacy tool, meaning that when a parent or a community member wants to understand what are the schools in their neighborhood like, what kind of services are they offering, what students are they serving, they can see all that information in one place in an easy to understand and accessible format.
Awesome. Yeah, having seen the Parents Guide myself and flipped through it a few times, the various editions of it, it's pretty thick. So
yeah,
there are a lot of schools to navigate in the system, and it can be daunting for parents.
You asked about where you get it, and I think that's important. We distribute 10,000 copies every year. We are a small nonprofit organization. We produce them. We give them away for free. Through libraries, through schools, through community organizations. There's also a smartphone app that a person can download onto their smartphone or tablet. And we partner with the Louisiana Charter School Association, actually, to put the content online. So even though the Charter School Association is just charter schools, the online version, which is laschoolfinder.com, is all the types of schools in Orleans Parish. So any public charter or public traditional school in Orleans Parish is included in LA School Finder.
Amazing. LAschoolfinder.com.
.com.
Perfect. So I understand that the guide currently is in its 7th edition.
That's right.
Coming out, rolling out with an 8th soon, which I understand will be a multilingual version.
Tell me
a little bit about that.
Actually, it's so funny. Today, I finally got the Spanish and Vietnamese translations of the front sections. So the parts that kind of tell you about the landscape and advocacy tools and questions to ask as a parent in Spanish and Vietnamese laid out. So we should probably by the end of this month be able to put up Spanish and Vietnamese versions of the 7th edition online. And then, yes, then the 8th edition will be able to be translated from the beginning. So we're really, really, it's been like 2 or 3 years of trying to get to that point.
Amazing.
Because we know how important it is for families who English may not be the language that they're most comfortable with or that they can really understand information. And we want to make sure that all those families have information that they can use.
Definitely. So that one will be rolling out.
So the next edition of the Parents Guide, we're going to print in December, which is earlier than ever, and we are hoping to have it back in January in time for kind of the second launch of the non-selective round of One App.
Okay.
And so the Spanish and Vietnamese version will be online at that time when the English version is released. The translations of the 7th edition are probably like 9 months behind, but we'll still put them up so people can use them until the new edition comes out.
And speaking of, you mentioned the One App.
Mm-hmm.
So this is sort of a consolidated charter school enrollment process that parents can go through. Can you tell me a little bit about deadlines, upcoming deadlines for that, and you know how one can access the One App?
Sure, yeah. The One App is a centralized application process that allows a parent or a family member to make it known to the system what schools they would prefer their student to go to. So it is actually any RSD charter or direct run school, all of the OPSB direct run schools, and a number of OPSB charter schools are beginning to join. The goal eventually would be to have all schools participate so that you can just go to one place, fill out an application for all, and make known your preferences of all the schools. What it does is it helps assign students to schools based on those preferences. So a parent can say, I would prefer, this is my number one choice. If that's not available, here's my two, here's my three, here's my four. And it makes that clear. Whereas when we just had people applying to schools independently, there was no way to really tell if you turned in 10 applications to 10 different schools, if one of them you really wanted and another one you were less interested in. There was just no way to centralize that. And the problem that created is that if you have hundreds of families doing that, then you have one school maybe where parents, or you might have one family who gets into five schools and another family that didn't get into any of them, and no way to kind of tell the difference between those two. And so we were constantly running out of seats on paper, but in fact, there were these seats. Just it was impossible to tell where they were until it was basically time for school to start, which is really harmful to families and communities. As your listeners may know, in New Orleans, no schools have attendance zones, meaning that where you live and where you go to school are not related in any particular way. And, you know, I think there's a lot of challenges to that in general. There's some benefits that people have enjoyed, but one of the things that we had to have, given that fact, is a way to centralize the system of application, of how you get your child into a school.
And deadlines for the One app are upcoming,
yeah,
right?
Good question. Yeah, so this year for the first time, some schools that use selective criteria, meaning that you might have to pass a test or show some particular skill or talent, are in the One app process for the first time. So in order to accommodate some of their timeline needs, there's two application deadlines. There's a December 20th deadline for schools that are selective admission. And that's kind of in line with what the deadlines for some of those schools have been in the past, historically in New Orleans. And then February 28th is the deadline for all non-selective schools that are participating in One app. So families that are interested in schools that have selective criteria need to look at those options and make those preferences known by December 20th. And families that don't happen to be applying for any of those schools can wait until February 28th. And there's just a little bit more time to kind of take a look at the options, maybe see schools that are newer and really get to spend some time looking at how they're doing and maybe spend time on campus. There also will be a schools expo in January where families can go and meet school leaders and ask their questions in one place. So the Urban League hosts that every year.
And is that going to be in the Dome again?
You know, I don't know. It may be. It has been for the last couple of years, but I think there's been some talk about moving it to a different location.
So speaking of stacking the deck and obstacles to families and students, what, in your opinion, is the biggest obstacle that you've seen in working in the education reform movement to meaningful community involvement?
Wow. You know, I think it's a huge, huge issue. I feel like in New Orleans, part of it has been the challenges that people have in just getting home and putting their lives back together, right? So engaging the school around the corner or down the street or that your children go to may not have been able to be a priority when you also had to figure out your house, your grandparents' houses, where you were going to live and sort of those survival things. So I think that's a huge barrier already. But I think that that really dovetails with a history of not listening. Right. I think that many, many parents who I've worked with over the years have had an experience of not being heard or listened to or had their voice matter as students themselves, as parents, you know, over the course of their life of parenting. So when suddenly someone says, well, now we want to hear your voice, if you've never been actually listened to before, why would you keep showing up? Right. We do sort of we have these meetings where it's window dressing and people know that and they've been to those and they've been through that and they don't want to do it again. And I think that's compounded by a community of educators who are all kinds of people. I have utmost respect for many of the people who are leading and teaching and working hard in our schools, but often do not have the skills to meaningfully engage. They don't know what community engagement looks like because they too haven't experienced it. So you have families that haven't experienced real community engagement. You have school leaders and teachers who haven't experienced real community engagement. And then we try to put those things together and it's just a collision course of non-engagement. So you end up with empty meetings where people don't go because they don't expect their voice to matter. And then the folks who are holding those meetings are saying, well, no one wants to speak. And not to get meta, but I think that it's also a societal problem around our entire society as the U.S., as this nation state, right? That like we are very individualistically nurtured with this idea that
we're all supposed to just think about our individual selves or our individual families or children. And we rarely have opportunities to work collectively for something where we're learning to negotiate with each other, where we're learning to hear each other and come up with solutions that are bigger than the individual solution. And so I think that we just don't have the practice for what deep community engagement really could look like, you know?
I see. Do you think that this movement is driven by a desire to have that real community engagement, or is it driven by sort of individualistic impulse that you're talking about?
I think that the reform movement as it stands in New Orleans is not centered on community engagement. I think that people have come to recognize that maybe it's important, that engaging parents matters, but they don't know how, and it's not measured, right? Like, how well you do it isn't really measured except in the sense that will your test scores go up? We have a very test-driven way of measuring schools' effectiveness. And so what you don't measure doesn't really get attention.
That being said, I mean, as you know, New Orleans is being used as a model for charter school and education reform in other cities, similar demographically. And so what do you think about that, given the fact that it's not necessarily community-driven from the beginning?
Well, I think that we always have things to learn from each other. So I wouldn't say that other cities can't look here and learn from our mistakes and the things that have gone well. I think that's important. But I don't think it's a model, because I think that every community is different, every city is different, every child is different for that matter. So I think the idea of taking something and expanding it elsewhere, or saying, like, we can take this same idea and just, like, implant it over here. I think, like, even just the conditions that were true in New Orleans at the time of this explosion of charter schools is not going to happen in another place in exactly the same way. I hope not, for one thing, but also geographically, right? Like, it's not going to be the same situation. The communities will look different. People will have different priorities, even as their shared values might be towards nurturing children who can engage in their civic society. Like, it's, you know, there's a big shared value, but then there's the, like, what matters really importantly in one community and what matters in another community is a little bit different. And hearing that, listening to that, and figuring out how to build on that, the strengths that are inherent in each place and each community, is really, really important. And I feel like a lesson that people should learn about where we have stumbled in New Orleans.
Definitely. To change gears a little bit and to focus on you for a minute, you were just recently honored by the White House with the Daily Point of Light Award. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
So I have to ask, do you feel, and of course, I'd also like to add, you met the Obamas.
I did get to be in the same room with both Barack and Michelle Obama. It was quite awesome.
POTUS and POTUS together.
Together.
With you.
That was amazing.
Amazing. And would you consider that your, you know, biggest honor, or are there other things that you feel are more important?
I mean, it was very, very exciting to be able to go. And, you know, I certainly, you know, I was like, oh my God, when I got the invitation. So I'm not trying to front like, oh, it's no big deal. But I feel like the things that mean the most to me in real time are when I meet a family that has been impacted in some kind of way by my work here, or I meet a student at Morris Jeff who is getting to have a kind of educational experience that is a possibility, opens their possibilities of freedom and self-determination. Like, those are things that are more important to me than getting to go, you know, even to the White House, which was pretty cool. I'm not gonna front. You know, and in some ways, I just think that, like, locality does matter. And I mean, 40 under 40 makes me feel like people here think my work is meaningful, right? Like, for people in DC or in New York to think that my work is meaningful is great, but they actually aren't using it. And so I think the closer the accolade is to home, the more important it is to me.
Well, now you're racking them up both in New Orleans and nationally. So next step is to go abroad. No, but finally, just to round out, let's recap these websites and the dates for any parents and students who are listening, thinking about their future school enrollment. So we've got the New Orleans Parents Guide website.
Is nopg.org or neworleansparentsguide.org. Both things work. So nopg.org, and then there's laschoolfinder.com. You can get the same information in different ways from those two. There's the New Orleans Parents Guide smartphone app, and then there is the One app. Which has a website. So if you search for One app, you can actually, I think, fill out the information online. The deadlines for 1UP are December 20th for schools that are selective admission and February 28th for all non-selective schools.
Amazing. Thanks so much for your time today. I know you're a busy person.
Thank you.
It's been really nice talking to you.
Awesome. Thanks so much.